Hello, and welcome back to a new season of the Azeem Digital Asks, all-round digital marketing podcast. God, that feels weird to say because I haven't put out an episode since June. Deepest apologies, but I'm not going to give you my life story. I'm one man. I had to build conference decks. I'm also moving house, so if you're watching this on video, behind me is a mess. Don't judge me. YOLO. As always, please like, rate, share, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend, and their dogs, kittens, snakes, whatever you keep as pets, please subscribe. It all helps. Anyway, enough of me. I have a fantastic episode lined up, a fantastic guest and a fantastic theme. We are talking all about how we can increase Black-owned businesses in the SERPs. No better time to discuss this, even more appropriate now as it's Black History Month over here in the UK. Fresh off doing a brilliant, brilliant talk at Brighton SEO. And we got chatting afterwards. I promise I'm going to stop talking in a second, but me and Fabio, my guest is Fabio Mbala, by the way. Brilliant guy. Me and him, we met at Brighton, but we'd been speaking before. We're not related, but I love this guy like a brother. Maximum love. And he was the kicker that got me to start recording again. So if you're a listener or subscriber, find him and follow him on social media and say, thanks for giving Azeem a kick up the backside while he's moving house to start recording again. But that's enough of me. Fabio, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You got me feeling excited. That's a great intro. I'm excited.
Yeah, no pressure. No pressure. Also, I should remind listeners that we are available on YouTube, so you can watch us on video. But a lot of you choose to watch it on Spotify video too, so you can watch it on either. But that's enough from me. Sick of my own voice. Fabio, tell the listeners, give yourself an introduction. Who are you? What do you do? And why are you such a brilliant man, my friend?
Well, yeah, I mean, people already know my name. I'm Fabio, as you've been saying. I'm the CEO of an independent, mission-led, so mission-first SEO agency called Viaduct Generation. We aim to support the online growth and online visibility of underrepresented businesses, with a specific focus, of course, on Black-owned businesses, because that's where the whole history came from for us. I've been in the industry for about 8 years now. I started my career at a company called Mediacom, went through the ranks of Google themselves, and then ended up working for a UK platform. Well, a German platform based in the UK called Search Metrics, which a lot of people, of course, know about. And then shortly after that, I decided to go ahead and create Viaduct Generation. And I'm very happy to be in a position where I can talk about the mission of Viaduct and even feature in podcasts like yours now.
Definitely. And again, for the viewers, I'm representing this Viaduct by wearing the hat that they very kindly gave me at Brighton. So thank you. Yeah. And a big shout out to the rest of the team at Viaduct that I met as well. Fantastic people. Definitely check them out. Right. Let's get into the topic then, Fabio. We're talking all about increasing Black-owned businesses in the SERPs.
Yeah.
I think there's no better way for me to start by asking, essentially, how did you discover that there was such a lack of Black-owned businesses in the SERPs?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're an SEO, there's a lot of things that spark your interest, right? When you start in the industry and you start understanding the way SERPs work, you do little random things, little random researches on how is it that ASOS ranks so well, or how is it that Apple ranks so well? You know, you do your own little researches to try and see how the big boys do it. So I had been in the industry for a long time. By then, I had been in the industry for about 6 years, 6.5 years or so. And after so long in the industry, I never actually came across either having a Black-owned client or I never came across a Black-owned competitor whenever I was doing analysis for my own clients, right? Because as we all know, in SEO, there's a lot of competitor research. You need to understand how those in your industry are doing, right? How they're performing, what is it that they're doing. And I've always, whenever I research my clients' competitors, I actually like looking at those at the top. Like I like looking at who the founders of those businesses are And the reason for that is, you know, you get to see whether they've got some sort of special connections, you know, like there's some people that they may own a company, but they then have very good relationships with, say, publications, et cetera, et cetera. So then you can start understanding how is it that they get lots of backlinks and lots of mentions in the media, for example. So I've always found it quite interesting to do my own research in that sort of way. And as I was saying, I never came across a black-owned business. And that surprised me at the time. But, you know, as I also spoke about in the Brighton SEO talk, I hadn't been in the industry from an in-house perspective before. Like I didn't quite understand the pain points and the entry prices for a practice like SEO. So, you know, I just thought that perhaps it was something that wasn't that bad. I was like, you know, like maybe people will catch up to it later on type thing. And then obviously the tragic murder of George Floyd happened. And that sort of kickstarted a lot of things for a lot of people, right? Like a lot of us started asking the right questions almost, like, okay, what is it that we can possibly do between all of us to make things better? And after quickly realizing that I was only 25 years old, the only ever proper job I had done was within SEO. And I had already started asking myself questions about the lack of essentially black representation in the SERPs. I decided to do a research about it. You know, I analyzed 10 of the most popular industries in the UK. I analyzed the top 100 ranking businesses in every single one of those industries. So essentially 1,000 websites that I looked at, and I identified 2 black-owned businesses competing for rankings, one of them being the Oprah magazine. And even Oprah at the time, because now I see she shut down the magazine. At the time, she was only ranking in, like, I think it was like top 35 or something within publications. So it's very far away, right? So that's essentially what kickstarted everything for me.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. Thanks very much for sharing that. It's interesting to see how you sort of got into it. I know you touched on it a little bit there, but I'm keen to sort of dig in a little bit further. You mentioned that there's, you know, 2. Why do you think that number's so low?
It's a good question, right? I think there's a variety of factors. You know, I think when you look at the offline world, you can almost start making your own sort of conclusions on it. Based on my research, and I want to clarify that it's my own research and the way I approached it and all the black-owned businesses I spoke to and their founders. The reason number one is, I would say, is the lack of funding on black-owned businesses. You know, like, look, SEO is an expensive practice. We all know it. You know, it's expensive for a reason. You know, it's justified because of the long term. Like on the long run, you're going to have a significant return on investment. But there's a big problem, and the problem is that according to TechCrunch in 2020, they did a research about it. Black-owned business owners, only 46% of them get approved for a bank loan when starting their businesses. In comparison, white-owned businesses get approved by 75.3% of them. So the difference between a black-owned business and a white-owned business when seeking funding is substantial. Now, going back to the black-owned businesses, if only 46% of them actually secure funding, that means that the majority of black-owned businesses in the country have to bootstrap their businesses. So now, you and I have both been in the industry for a long time. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have as well. If you're bootstrapping a business, and whether it's a product-based business or a service-based business, the majority of your money has to go to either buying supplies for your products, either hiring a couple staff that can help you deliver the service that you are offering. So really, if we have to be honest, even if a business owner may know that SEO is a significant and important marketing channel, they simply won't be able to afford it because all their money is going to maintain the business alive, essentially. you know? So the lack of funding is a crucial one and a very important one. When I spoke to them, a lot of them were telling me, hey, I've tried SEO in the past. You know, I've gone and found agencies on platforms like Fiverr or Upwork, et cetera. And I've spent £200-300 for 6, 8, 9, 10 months. And I've seen no return on investment. And obviously, for us as professionals, we hear that and we instantly know that, yeah, of course you didn't see any return on investment if you spent £200-300, you know, and if you found a random company on a platform like Fiverr, for example. But then that leads me to my next point, right, which is there's a clear lack of education on the topic, you know, because for us, as I was just saying, it's very easy for us to be like, you know, £200-300. Yeah, no way I would ever spend that on an agency on Fiverr because I know how valuable SEO is and how much money I should be investing in it. But a lot of these business owners don't see that. They don't know about it. So they just see a nice, shiny advert on a platform like Fiverr and they go for it. So the lack of education on the topic of SEO is also a huge factor as to why there's only two, because even those that are trying to invest in it are simply not investing it in the right ways. So yeah, I would say those two, three things are the keys as to why there's only two, really.
No, that's brilliant. And I didn't want to interrupt because you were sharing so much knowledge and wisdom there. And it's definitely tough to hear about that such a low number who managed to secure funding and then have to obviously go into bootstrapping. Yeah. And you led me sort of very nicely onto something I was going to talk to you about later on, but I'll ask you now because I think you've touched on it really well there. That SEO in general can be quite daunting for newcomers of any background, not just the black background, but this episode is focusing on people from the black community. So if there are people from the black community listening to this and want to try and increase their visibility in the SERPs through SEO, where do you think they can start? Because there's so many different things to touch on. What advice would you give to a black-owned business who's listening to this about where to start with SEO?
It's a great question, right? Look, the beauty of SEO is that almost everyone can go out of their way and learn it. However, I understand that that's time consuming. And if you're a business owner, there's no way you have the time and perhaps even like resources based on time to go and find all the information online to educate yourself and then try and apply on your own website. That's pretty impossible, really. So my advice always is, try and almost for those that cannot afford an agency or can't afford a consultant or can't afford an SEO specialist to come in house. I've spoken to them before, and something that worked for one of my actual current clients now, that who went through a whole pipeline of starting with little to no budget. I advised them, hey, you can find someone who is either interested in doing an apprenticeship, for example, and you can put them through a digital marketing apprenticeship. As a matter of fact, I would like to shout out a great platform called Multiverse, who provide apprenticeships in pretty much everything, one of the things being digital marketing. Bring this person on, train them, like take them through the apprenticeship program at the same time. Through me or through, there's loads of resources online on SEO, on the basics of SEO, like a little bit more advanced level, expert level. Identify those sources and then ensure that person that you have as your apprentice is taking in all that information so that they can then apply it on your business if the business owner doesn't have the time to do it. Now, that's long-winded way. It's almost like a big circle that you have to do to ensure that you can implement SEO. But there isn't many other things that you can possibly do, because SEO is not like a PPC, right? Where you You get your Google advisor, even though a lot of people like to say that the advisors that you get from Google when it comes to your Google AdWords is not the best. But hey, at least you get a little bit of direction on what you can do with something like PPC, right? Like at least you get someone telling you what to do. With SEO, if you don't have an agency or you don't have a consultant, you don't really have that. So I would say if you don't have the resources, the easiest and quickest way to do things is hiring someone very junior who you can train and nurture so that in 6 to 8 months, perhaps, they are in a position where they can start applying the basics. So you can start having a good foundation on that for you to build on, you know? What do you think, actually, Azeem, on that?
This is your episode, my friend. No, I completely agree with you. Yeah, if an agency is not an option, then what you mentioned about an apprenticeship is a great route. The company that you mentioned, definitely share a link and I'll include it in the show notes. And I think the only bit that I will very quickly add, because I don't want to spend too much time talking, is your episode. A lot of it comes down to educating people about the value of SEO. Because if you're not visible in the SERPs, I would probably say you might not fully understand the value of SEO. And that's where people can get burned when they look for a quick win through PPC, for example. Yeah. But that's enough of me. As I said, this is about you. So we've touched on what can black-owned businesses do, how can they start with SEO. I'm very keen to hear from you on the flip side now, before we part ways. If there are other people listening who are obviously not part of the black community and just people listening in general who are interested in this topic and interested in helping. What can they do? How can people support the growth of this side of the black community, I should add?
Yeah, I love that question. I mean, look, allyship is very important, you know? And I also touched on this at the talk in Brighton. Look, there's so many experts in our industry. You know, there's so many people doing amazing things. And as a matter of fact, a few minutes ago, I spoke about the amount of resources online. Most of those resources come from these amazing SEO professionals, you know, these people that work for incredible agencies, and they're so passionate about the practice of SEO that they kindly and lovingly go online and share their own resources. Now, if you're an SEO professional and you're listening to this, my only advice and my only suggestion would be for you to, especially now in Black History Month, he almost gives you the right recipe to do it. Perhaps just go out of your way, you know, go out of your way to, if you see any sort of advertisement of a specific Black-owned business on Instagram, on Twitter, on any social media platform, or even offline, you know, like a shop that you may go to that is Black-owned and you know that in the SERPs they don't do so well, you can easily email them some resources on SEO, some basic things even, a basic SEO guide. You can take a quick screenshot of their current performance online, even a quick comparison with the top competitor that you identify for them. Really, we all know this. It's a 5-10 minute thing. It really doesn't take too long to go on a platform like, say, Semrush, for example, introduce a domain, look at how they're performing in comparison to their competitors, quick screenshot, send it to their email, and that's it. You've planted a seed. I think it's very important, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, Azeem. I think it's very important to try and find ways to educate the community, you know? And it can be argued that the majority of startups lack comprehension on the topic of SEO, you know? So the important thing should be for us to go out of our way to ensure that our industry as a whole gets a lot more visibility, because there's this, I don't know how to say it, but there's a little bit of like a black box when it comes to SEO, right? Like there's so many companies that even pay for SEO. They are making money, but they have no idea how it even works, which is odd, right? Like if you're buying something, surely you want to find out more about it. So yes,
yeah.
Being as transparent and direct as possible is important.
Yeah, I love that. As I have loved all of your answers, I think the listeners are really going to get a lot of value from this. We are coming to the end of the episode. However, there's one question I need to ask you before we wrap things up. because your answer there just made me think about something that we've spoken about in the past, like off the recording, and it's something that I know we're both very passionate about. Mm-hmm. Obviously now it's Black History Month in the UK, so people outside of the community, outside of the Black community, are going to be more aware and receptive of these types of initiatives. What advice would you give about staying consistent? Because let's say, for example, we get into November, December, or, you know, early next year. Mm-hmm. How do we ensure people don't forget about this and they don't just treat it as a tick box exercise? How do people stay consistent?
It's a fantastic question, you know, and it's one that we've been seeing for a long time, especially since the events in 2020 that, you know, I would like to call it the performative allyship. You know, that's happened with a lot of companies and we all see it. At the end of the day, if it's pure-hearted, the consistency should stay there naturally. You know, it should come to you, as I was saying, naturally, organically, if, let's call it organically, seeing as the top, because of the topic. You should actively try and create a more even playing field. It's as simple as that, you know, like, I don't think anyone likes the look of the offline world we currently have. You know, there's just so much going on in every angle. It doesn't matter what you read on your newspaper. It's so much negativity, right? In the SEO industry, as SEO professionals, as weird as this may sound, because we've always been seen as the nerdy industry and everything, we actually have a lot of power. We all see how much money our own clients make because of the work that we do as SEOs, you know? So we have so much power in our hands. And with that, I certainly believe that we can try and create a more even world online. I believe that. I may be naive, but I believe that. So what I would like to say is, hey, it doesn't take anything to try and be a good person, right? So just try and do that, right? Just try and use the powers that you have by working in a industry like SEO to try and create a more even world where, yeah, you can support businesses from all walks of life, you know? So be consistent with your approach, not just 1 month a year.
Yeah, love that. And I think that is a fantastic way for us to wrap up this episode. Absolutely brilliant, as expected. Mm-hmm. Before I do let you go, though, I can't let you leave without you giving a shout out. Where can people find you? Where can they follow you? How can they learn more about your business, et cetera, et cetera? This is your moment to just plug yourself, my friend.
Thank you. So on Twitter, please follow our business account, viaduct_Jen. You can also follow me personally, Fabio, at FabioVG7. And then on LinkedIn, Viaduct Generation, you'll see us with the logo that Azim is wearing on his hat today. Hopefully you find the information that we've got there insightful. Please DM me if you do have any questions and if you'd like to expand on anything that I've spoken about today. I'm more than happy to respond to any queries that people may have.
100%. And plus one, I strongly recommend that you reach out to Fabio, even if just to say thanks for recording a brilliant episode with Azim. He's a great guy, very open and receptive. And he hasn't paid me to say any of this or wear his hat. He's just genuinely a really nice person. There should be way more Fabios in this industry. But from me to you, my friend, look, thanks very much for taking the time out, sharing your wisdom. I've really, really enjoyed it. And I'm sure the listeners will too. I will be back for the next episode very soon. But until then, please like, rate, share, and subscribe. And once again, thank you very much for listening. And thank you, Fabio, for being a fantastic guest.
Thank you. Thank you very much.